answering your questions about matters of the head, heart, and health. This is Gut Feelings with Lo Bosworth.
Hello, hello. Welcome to your brand new episode of Gut Feelings, your go-to podcast for advice on matters of the head, heart, and health. I am your host, Lo Bosworth, the founder of women's wellness brand, Love Wellness. You can find us at Walmart in digestive health, Target in natural beauty and women's OTC, Ulta in bath, on Amazon, and of course at lovewellness.com. On this show, we answer your head, heart, and health advice questions like your best friend would. We're all about building an open community here, so if you have a particularly tough or awkward question for us, that's okay, ask away. As you may know, tough and awkward is what we do best at Love Wellness. So with that, let's dive into your questions and today's guest.
On today's show, I'm so excited. We have one of my friends. She's an entrepreneur. She is the founder of Create and Cultivate. Everyone loves Create and Cultivate. She also is an angel investor, a best-selling author, and the host of a top business podcast. Jacqueline Johnson is with us. Join me now in giving a big welcome to Jacqueline. Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi.
It's so great to have you on the show.
It's so good to see you. How are you?
It's so great to see you. I'm great. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Of course.
We're very excited. You have had such an incredible career. And so our listeners had a lot of questions for you. And the podcast is starting to pick up steam on our channels. We're very excited. So we can jump right in. So the first question is actually a health question. All right. So I know, Jacqueline, as an entrepreneur, you've started both of your companies with a laptop and an idea. You've grown them into multi-million dollar businesses, nationally recognized brands, beloved brands, and you have put in countless long weeks at the office. So our first question comes from Christy, and this is going to pull at the heartstrings, but I think it's a really important question to answer, and I think a lot of people have a very similar experience. She just started a new job with really demanding hours, upwards of 65 hours a week, plus she has two kids at home. Mm. Obviously, the work schedule is not ideal, but she is a single mom and responsible for her family. Her mental health definitely is challenged because of all of her responsibilities, the majority of which she handles by herself. So she would love to know how you take care of your health while working hard, and what advice do you have about achieving that elusive work-life balance? Does it even exist?
No, I don't. Like, I think it's really challenging to have it all, right? To have the perfect work-life balance. There's always going to be something in your life that's pulling you more in one direction, right? You know, obviously she's in a challenging situation, and I think there's a lot of privilege that comes with wellness and being able to take care of yourself, right? Because you need the time, space, energy, funds to do that. And not all of us have that. So that's first and foremost. The other thing I would say is, you know, we are now in an era where there is such a thing as workplace wellness. Like, employers really do need to be flexible when it comes to employees and employees' lives. I think, at least for me, and this is a long time ago, when I had my first job, it was like, if you asked to go to a doctor's appointment, it was like, they couldn't believe it. They were like, what do you mean? You have approximately 45 minutes, be back, be at your desk. Like, taking lunch was like unheard of. And that was just the culture we all engaged in. We just assumed that's what it was and that's what we did, right? That has changed. And so I think you have to be an advocate for yourself in the workplace, especially for her, going in and saying, look, listen, I have two kids. You know, I got to do pickup on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I'll be back online, you know, for these 2 hours to make up for that time. But creating those boundaries and priorities with your boss or the owner of the company is really important. Worst thing that could happen, they say no. And then you can say, okay, well, maybe this isn't the workplace environment I want to be in. But my gut says people post-pandemic especially are more compassionate and open to flexible work for good employees. So I think it's something to really think about and start to advocate for yourself. The old rules don't necessarily apply anymore, I would say. But the other thing for me, at least, you know, being a business owner, it's really challenging to disconnect, right? Because you're creating your own priorities all the time. And obviously everything relies on you. So it's a really heavy crown to wear, I think, all the time. I would say this, for at least 5 to 7 years of my own career, I had no balance. I had no wellness routine. That is for sure. I stopped working out, which is something I really love to do. I definitely was eating at like mostly airports all the time. I was just like a hot mess, like running around. I was having a good time. I was building a business I loved. My career was really taking off. And on paper and on Instagram, all those things looked so fun. But when I got home, I would crash for 48 hours, not see anyone, barely be able to get out of bed, be ordering takeout, and just kind of recover from what would have been weeks of working, 1,000 hours, what felt like traveling, being on a plane, managing a team, dealing with all these crises. Was it healthy? Absolutely not. Was it what helped me build a business? Probably. But looking back, I do have regrets a little bit, right? I regret not taking care of myself as much. I regret not, you know, spending time with friends and family as much. I regret not taking care of myself as much. I look back at photos sometimes and I was like, I look unhealthy. I look unwell. But it's one of those things that, you know, a little bit hindsight's 2020. But what I would say is find the micro moments that are important to you for your self-care. Whether that's working out, whether that's taking a long bath, whether that's walking to work and listening to music, whatever it is, and prioritize those. It doesn't mean every day is a spa day and every day is like going to be like, you know, the most relaxing day of your life, but prioritizing those moments that keep you sane, stable, healthy, happy are so important. And don't push them aside. Don't be like, I don't have time for this. Because that's what I would do with working out, especially. I'd be like, I have no time. But the reality is nothing would have happened if I did a 30-minute spin class. The world wouldn't have ended. But in my brain, I made it seem like it would.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful. I think, you know, one of the challenges I'm thinking about for Christy and sort of, you know, the way that she wrote in, I love the idea of having a conversation with your boss and trying to establish boundaries for yourself. I don't know if that – I think that's possible at some jobs, and I don't know if that's possible for a lot of people in a lot of positions, to be totally honest with you. And so I think for people that are listening that are in a different kind of situation where they can't just decide, you know, if their boss says, I can't accommodate this, to get another job or just to go figure it out, you know, I think it's a different situation. And so, you know, I'm curious for, you know, people who have less time, you know, how do you take care of yourself in those instances? And, you know, this question really, I think, speaks to just generally what a lot of Americans are dealing with in this country right now. And so, this is tough. I think it's a really challenging situation to be in. And I think so many women have this exact same experience, and they just don't have the time of the day in the day to take a walk and, you know, to take that bath, right? They have so much responsibility, and I think it's like reflective of, you know, the state of our country. And I wish I had better advice, but this to me sits uncomfortably with me. You know what I mean? Because yeah, I mean, I think people do try to do their best with the time that they have. And I think we're living in really challenging times. And frankly, I don't know the answer to this question. And I'm usually not stumped when it comes to some kind of advice question. You know, I think that there have to be things you can do for yourself that are free, that are accessible. What I'm really hearing from this person is that she needs community and she needs support. So it's not just about her own self-care, but it's about her community, you know? And so I wonder, and I don't have children, so I don't know what mom things are.
Totally, same.
Do you go on Facebook and make Playdate? I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah.
To me, this is sort of a cry for community above all else to a certain degree, because I think that it's really isolating to work 65 hours a week, have 2 kids, and you're the only one who is responsible for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I think to your point, I think there are a ton of great apps you can go on and find other people, especially single moms. I think working with each other to be like, hey, like you watch the kids for whatever, I'm going to go, you know, take 5 minutes to myself, or like we get to hang out and have that, you know, kind of hangout session. I think there are, I mean, I know like Peanuts one, I know there's like a bunch that are kind of like that as well, but I think there is like such a need for community and like being able to give yourself that break that you need. But to your point, it is really hard. Like, I don't know what industry she's in or like,
yeah, me neither.
What the parameters
she
are.
She doesn't give us that info.
But I do know there are, I mean, it's rough out there, but there are a lot of really great remote jobs that could help provide a little bit more stability. But again, I don't know like what the job she's in, but it's challenging out there.
Yeah, I think that this is really hard from being the one that who's in that this position, right? But what I can say, and I absolutely know that you agree, is that Christy, like, it sounds like you are absolutely doing your best. And sometimes you just need acknowledgement that other people can see that you are doing your best and you're in a challenging position. And just recognizing that and having acknowledgement of that, I think can be really not helpful in these like super tangible ways, but knowing that you have support and that people see you and they understand the challenge, I think is like a big part of this for me as I read the question and I think about sort of how to, I don't know. Anyway, all right, Christy, thanks for the question. Everyone, please listen. I have incredibly major news. So you have known and loved our Bye Bye Bloat supplement for years. And now I am so excited to announce the launch of Bye Bye Bloat Body Care. We worked with doctors and naturopaths to develop three brand new Bye Bye Bloat products to help you depuff and sculpt from the inside out by bringing spa-level lymphatic massage home. So the new four-step depuff and sculpt routine includes our best-selling Bye Bye Bloat supplement and our new firming clay body mask, new detoxifying body oil, and new lymphatic massage roller to get your lymphatic system flowing and help get rid of excess water retention, all for less than $3 per massage. You know, if you go to the spa, it costs like way, way more. So you can shop them all now at lovewellness.com. I cannot wait for you to try Bye Bye Bloat Body Care. So our next question is a head question. So when it comes to success in your career, Jacqueline, obviously you have spoken about the importance of having some passion around the role or the industry that you're leaning into. One of our listeners, Erica, wrote to us and says she has been unhappy with her job and is considering making her career change. So what tips do you have on how she can focus on the things that she is passionate about and turn them into a career? Or should she just stick with her current steady, safe job and develop passions outside of her work in her personal life?
Yeah, I mean, I think
that's a good question.
It's a really good question because it's hard to reconcile both, right? Like, I think if there's something you're extremely passionate about that's like pulling at you every single day that you can't get out of your head. And this is specific to like a business idea or business path that you're like, I know I can make an impact in this lane. I know this will be so fun for me. I'm naturally really good at this. I think it's worth pursuing a career in that sector. That being said, I think it's important to do as much research as possible into the possible careers of what that could look like. And using your current job as a way to kind of almost invest in what would be this career jump. The other thing I would say is like, if there's something you're super passionate about, but it doesn't, you know, you kind of see it as this total side hobby hustle that you like really enjoy, but not necessarily as like a business thing. Keep it separate. Like, I think something for me, it's funny, like I love interior design. I love it. Like, I spend time doing it. I've done all my houses. I've gotten super into it. Everyone's always, you should be an interior designer. Or like, you should do that. And in my head, I'm like, no, like, I don't want to ruin that for me because it's the thing I love and enjoy. And I know if I turned it into a business, I'd become a monster about it. And I don't want that.
I honestly think it's really helpful to hear from somebody who's had a lot of success like you and hear from you that not everything that you think is fun and interesting and could be a good business idea is an actual business that you need to chase down and like dedicate your entire life to, because
enjoy things, have hobbies.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Yeah. You know, in the past couple of years, really since COVID, I was like, gosh, I have no hobbies. I just work. I see my friends, I see my family, and I play on the internet. And so not anymore. Now I have hobbies. And I also thought, God, I'm boring. I have no hobbies, right? I need things that are I'm interested in and that I'm passionate about. And so I started, you know, doing more things that I was interested in when I was younger or things that I had always wanted to do that I had never done before. Like, I started gardening on my freaking balcony in New York City, and now I know how to grow vegetables from seeds. So now I'm a botanist urban farmer in one part of my life, right? And I have always wanted to learn how to golf. And so during COVID, I started to golf, and part of me for a little while was like, wow, should I, like, all the golf clothes are ugly. Should I, like, start a little golf capsule collection of cute things? And then I was like, no, I should not. I have a job. And I think it's also, though, so, like, anyway, there's many answers for me.
No, I think the
having passions and hobbies is really important. And I think that we have fallen out of the practice of hobbies.
Yes.
Because of the internet and whatever, right? We're constantly stimulated by our little phones and by everything we have to do every single day. And I think, like, we've fallen out of the practice of performing hobbies for ourselves.
The thing is not
– everybody has.
Not everything needs to be monetized. This is, like, my philosophy. Like, we're in an age where we're like, oh, this, like, lipstick, oh, affiliate link. Every single thing in our life is monetizable. Every link, every click, every outfit, every conversation, everything is like an ad. And it has – in that way, ruined hobbies and passions. And I think it's so important. I think that's so funny for you that COVID did that, because it did that for me too. I got super into wine. Now I'm on my level 3 SOM course. So, wow. Which is so fun. And like, I just do it for fun. Everyone's like, wait, are you like, what are you launching? And I'm like, nothing, literally nothing. I'm into gardening. I'm into cooking. And I have no want or need to monetize that. I just love it and like to do it. And that's really powerful to have those things in your life, which will probably give you more joy in your career also, to be honest.
I agree with you. I think, you know, going back to her question, again, I don't know what the current job is and what the passion is, right? And if it's something that you have just thought about forever, I think it's also really easy now to sort of test business ideas without quitting your job. And so I think the idea of testing, you know, whatever it is that you're passionate about to a certain degree and getting some information, right? Is the idea I have or the passion I have, is it even a job? Like, I don't know. Only you can find that out and answer that for yourself. But yeah, I mean, the idea that everything is monetized these days is challenging, but I think we're hopefully starting to transcend that era of the internet because, listen, like, the concept of the girl boss has changed. It's been canceled, you know, but I think for a long time, or for the past, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, everything you saw on the internet taught or indicated to a lot of people that you can just start a business. You can just do it. You can just quit your job and start a business. And I see all these successful people. So whatever I do is bound to be successful, right? And I think that is so far from the truth. And it's so hard to start a business. And typically you don't know that until you're actually doing it. And at this point, like, I would be really hard pressed. I realize, you know, I started a business, but I'd be really hard pressed to leave my job at this point.
Oh,
you know,
100%. Yeah.
Even with the following and the, you know, community that I have and stuff, you know, I would be really hard pressed to do that. And so
it's a little bit of lightning in a bottle.
My answer is go do the passions. Yeah. Starting a successful business is lightning in a bottle. And I don't say that to be like, oh my God, I'm so great or you're so great. But I mean, the probability of success, and you can probably speak more to these actual data points. Like, out of how many businesses that are started, how many actually succeed?
Well, I think there's some stat that's like
very small amount.
Most businesses fail within the first 2 years. I think it's like 80% or something, like, really disheartening. But
yeah,
it's also.
Yeah,
and it's one of those things, but I think if you are like, I want to start a business, take the calculated risk, but don't go all in. Do the research, understand the space, understand your margins, understand marketing. Like, take the calculated risk. But I think that idea of just, and open a Shopify and everyone's going to buy your stuff is like outdated. Like, it just isn't what it is. And maybe 10 years ago it was, but it's just not anymore.
Yeah. I think, you know, you have to do your own personal risk assessment too,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
I think some people are have a much higher tolerance for risk in their day-to-day life and other people do not, right? So you have to understand who you are as a person, right? What makes you happy? What makes you fulfilled? And kind of go from there. But I do have to say that developing passions and hobbies outside of my work has fulfilled me in a way that I never really thought possible. And it makes just kind of the everyday of work nice, you know? Yeah, I think a steady, safe job, it can, there's a lot going for you if you have a steady, safe job. Absolutely.
Everyone, it's time for our last question of the episode. But first, a couple of reminders. First, Bye Bye Blow Body Care is available now. I am so excited. My second reminder is that you can get 50% off your first subscription order and then 25% off for life right now at Love Wellness on any item. So to build a routine that you'll actually love sticking with, snag that lifetime discount at lovewellness.com right now.
Okay, so let's get on to our final question, our heart question. And this is not a traditional romance question for you today, Jacqueline, but it is about paying it forward because I know that you love your community. So I think one of the things that you do really well is pay it forward to young entrepreneurs and underrepresented founders through your coaching. You also have your own investment fund, which is really amazing. It really, really shows how much you care. So the question is from Kara. She reached out to us. She says that she feels like she's hit a dead end with her career and she needs some help and advice on the next steps. She wants to know how she can go about finding the right mentor in her life to help her on her career journey. But she's looking for actionable steps. She's like, Jacqueline, like a real list of things I can do, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, to help me find a mentor.
Yes.
And to me, the idea of finding a mentor is so scary.
It is.
You really have to put yourself out there.
100%.
So we need your actual list of things to do to find a mentor.
I love it. I mean, it is kind of like dating in that way. So I totally get it. Yeah, I love that.
It's like dating and finding a therapist. It's like, yes. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I mean, finding a therapist.
You have to be vulnerable.
I think it's harder than finding a mentor. But yes.
Yeah.
So, okay. Here's the thing about mentorship. I think mentorship has fundamentally changed over the past 10 years. I think previously mentorship was someone who is in my same industry, same career, who's 5-10 steps ahead of me. And they're going to come down and they're going to give me all this amazing advice. I think things have changed a little bit in that way. What I would say is when it comes to mentorship, here's a few different things I would think about. One is instead of vertical mentorship, so looking for people above you, look at horizontal membership and, or mentorship and people who are in the same space, timeline, and part of their career as you, because I think there's a lot of value in people who are coming up alongside you versus people who have also done it, been there, done that. Because I think there's a lot of nuance and change that can be better explained by people who are in it with you. So a good example of this is, and kind of why I started Create and Cultivate, was after my first business, like I had a business partner breakup, I had gone through a lot of things. I had a lot of shame around a lot of those like failures and learnings that I had with that first company. And I like didn't want to talk to anyone who was like in my same space because I was like, I don't want them to think I'm like a failure or whatever. But I, yeah,
you know, I get it.
Yeah.
Been there.
Yeah. So one time I was
like, the shame.
The shame is so real. So I was out to lunch with one of my girlfriends, or a girl who had a similar company, and we just started talking. It was actually Rachel Krupa from Good Smart, and she has her own like PR agency. And this was like truly 150 years ago. And we went to lunch and she was like, what are you guys doing for contracts? What are you using for this? And we like really got into questions. I was like, oh, we can talk about this stuff? Like I was so shocked. And we just were like, here's my lawyer. Here's my idea. Here's how I handle tough situations. And it was such an eye-opening moment for me where I was like, oh, wait, we can share information. This is so valuable. And really was the like lead up to launching Create and Cultivate. So I would say first and foremost, it's not traditional mentorship, but look at people who are in that same space as you and get real with each other and have those conversations.
Okay, that's idea one.
Yes, okay.
She wants 5.
I'm going to keep going. I will get there. I feel confident I can get there.
Okay, I agree. I also think within your community, your level, there's a willingness, right? And I think there's a fear to go to people who are above you to be like, oh, they're going to not want to waste their time or give me their time or whatever. And so if you have some kind of, I don't know, something affecting your confidence in terms of reaching out to somebody above you. I think it's normal to be nervous to ask somebody who's above you for help, right? I think you have a complex about that. You're like, oh my God, they're never going to want to give me their time. And so I think as a first step, reaching out to your existing community is a really good place to start because there's less of those like walls up, right? There's less fear, right? We are peers and the willingness to share, I think, or there's just like less mental anguish around the idea of willingness to share.
100%.
Because I'm somebody that never wants to bother anybody.
Right.
And so if you're my peer, I feel less like I'm bothering you. Yeah. Versus like my boss, I'm like, oh my God, I can't bother you.
Totally. No, I think that's exactly right. And that's the right mentality. I think that's where you can start. The second thing I would say is more than ever, we have access to information. Like, when I was starting, there was like 12 podcasts. I mean, I think there was barely any female entrepreneurs' books to read. It just didn't exist. So I think the other thing is mentorship doesn't have to be someone you know or engage with. It can be a one-sided kind of dialogue that you're listening and tuning into. I think previously, like the ability for people to talk about their failures, what worked, what didn't work, that was secretive. No one talked about it. Now there's podcasts dedicated to that. So I think it's about finding someone that resonates with you, their messaging, what they talk about, who they interview, how they approach things. That's a great way to kind of get like a little bit of a removed mentorship piece as well, I would say. The other thing I would look at, and maybe this is number
two. So that's number two.
Number two.
Okay.
Number three.
That's number two. I like that.
Yeah.
Because you can just be... You could just, you can figure out a lot on your own with the internet.
Exactly. Which like, again, is like this generation is so lucky that they're able to kind of have that access to information.
Chat GPT can be your mentor.
Truly terrifying.
No, I'm serious.
No.
Like I have looked things up on Chat GPT and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. It'll blow your mind. Yeah. The third thing I would say is like, there is some value in spending a little bit of money towards mentorship. So I will say I'm on this platform called Intro, and it's an amazing platform that has 1,000 different entrepreneurs on it. Like Alexis Ohanian's on it, like the head of Andreessen's on it, Ali Webb's on it, I'm on it, like whoever, like truly a billion people from wellness experts, astrology experts, interior designers, like whoever, right? And you can pay to get 15 minutes with these people, 15, 30 minutes, an hour long, whatever. And a lot of times it goes to charity, which is really cool. And like a lot of the bigger names like will donate to charity. But I look back and think about if I could get a 15 minute meeting with, I don't know, whoever it was, how valuable would that have been to me? Like that, again, didn't exist when we were coming up. And there's so many cool and interesting people on those platforms that I think it's worth like taking a little 15 minutes. If you feel like I have one burning question that I would love to ask someone, you know, Ali Webb, who built a dry bar empire, I have a beauty franchise idea, get those 15 minutes in, create that rapport and that connection. And again, I don't know how much everyone's pricing is different, but some are very accessible in that way. So that's one thing I would also look into is sometimes a pay to play is, especially if you have like one burning question, could be worth it.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting idea. I would also say if you do that, don't be afraid to ask a question that you think is a dumb question. Because it very well may not be a dumb question.
No. And honestly,
if you're going to pay, like ask away.
Get your time in. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I agree. And I think you'll find that people are so willing and open to give you advice and are excited.
Totally.
Yeah, like I think it's great.
100%.
So that's number three.
Okay, that's number three. This is a really good, I'm going to write these.
Oh my God, I love it.
Do I need to get advice on intro?
I know. You probably should be on intro, but number four, here's what I would say.
Like Cameo.
Yeah, it's Cameo, but it's a two-way conversation, I guess. I think, I don't even know what Cameo, but okay. So number four is, let's say you have someone that you want to be your mentor, like they work in your company or you know them or like you know of them. That isn't like a famous person, but it's someone who's actually like in your industry has done the thing. The number one thing you want to do is be mindful of their time. And Lo, you were kind of talking about this before. And so the people who resonate the most with me, if I get asked to do these things, are people who are like, I want to make this as easy as possible for you. So just saying like, hey, here's my name, here's my business, here's my struggle. I would love 15 minutes with you. Like for instance, if you live in New York, I'll walk you to work and give you a coffee. I will jump on a Zoom. We can do it during your morning workout. Whatever is easy for you. Here are my three questions I would love to get clarity on. I'm so impressed by your career. Here's why I think you're the right person to talk to about it. And get on that phone call and suss it out. If there's a good vibe and a good relationship, I think it's like, again, it's like a date. After that, just say, I would love some ongoing mentorship that feels, you know, accessible and easy for you. Would 15 minutes every week work? Would 30 minutes once a month work? What feels like a good mentorship, you know, kind of program to you? And again, making it as easy as possible for them to, you know, be involved in your business is important. It's because I think the moment you're like, can I take you to lunch or do you have an hour of your time?
Oh, no, I don't want to go to lunch.
No, even a long email. Don't do a long email. Do a very specific, precise, concise email with the ask, the time, and make it as easy as possible for them.
I'm sorry. If somebody sent me an email or DM'd me and was like, can I meet you on the corner of X and X on your way to work, on your walk to work, and I can ask you 3 questions on your walk to work versus can I meet you for lunch? Oh my God. It is obvious.
Yes.
how to make this work for you.
Exactly. I love that. Pour it low. You're going to get 1,000 people asking
you. I know. Can I meet you on the corner of Broadway?
There's just like a group of people that descend
and
on
walk you to work. Once a month, we can walk to work.
Guys. I love it. Okay. Fifth and final piece of advice. If you're a business owner and you are a founder of a company, think about advisory shares. So I think a lot of people are open to mentorship and giving their time in exchange for equity. And so a lot of people establish these advisory boards early on in their business. And usually advisory shares are 0.25% to 2%, depending on who it is, what the time is, how they're involved in the business. And those vest over time. If you think someone's going to change your business and completely be an amazing asset and resource to you, and you don't have the funds to necessarily pay them to do that, think about giving up some equity and making them an advisor for your company. Mm-hmm. I advise a lot of different companies. I love doing it. I'm able to help them, coach them, get them through like difficult times in exchange for equity in their business. So again, equity is power. Time is power.
And then they don't have to walk you to work to answer.
You don't have to. Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. You get all the avenues. You just got to figure out what works for that person. It's all about what motivates that person. Is it money? Is it equity? Is it time? Is it giving back? Figure out what motivates them and then just like tap into that, you know?
Yeah. No, 100%. I think that, okay, those are 5 really good tips.
I hope so. That was
excellent.
Off the cuff.
It's amazing. I also, do you think that people on LinkedIn put in their titles, I'm open to mentorship, I'm open to helping you? Do people do that on LinkedIn, or is that just a fantasy that I have in my mind?
I think it's a fantasy you have in your mind. Okay. I don't think it exists.
I was like, and my tip is, but go on LinkedIn and look for me.
It's a feature, never mind. A feature that should be added. I'm open to mentorship. I love that. Email LinkedIn. We have an idea.
Oh my God, did I just improve upon LinkedIn?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
They should make you an advisor.
So good at LinkedIn. I don't even know how to like really do a post on LinkedIn.
I mean, same.
There you go. Awesome. Well, Jacqueline, you're so smart.
Aw, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. It was so great to get a chance to see you. And thank you for all of your helpful advice. Really tangible takeaways today, everybody, from Jacqueline Johnson herself. Hey, thanks, Jacqueline.
Thanks so much.
That's our show today, everybody. A big thank you to Jacqueline for coming on and getting real with us on so many topics. I also want to thank all of you for listening in and joining me for this episode. And remember, if you have a head, heart, health question, email us at gutfeelings@lovewellness.com. You can DM it to me or Love Wellness, or you can leave your questions on any of our show's social posts. And if you liked the show, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. I'm Lo Bosworth, and I will see you next time on Gut Feelings.